Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Woo! Welcome, everybody, and welcome to our friends on Facebook. Every Saturday night at 6:30, you'll see this amazing service. So, welcome, everybody. We know there's no distance in the spirit. We want to say, first of all, we say some prayers. We send our love out to Pastor Kelly, a little under the weather. We know there's a healing anointing here tonight, and we will appropriate that onto her. Hallelujah. So a lot of good stuff going on today. By the way, you guys have to want to go. You guys got, after today's service, fellowship downstairs. You might be confused. We're having breakfast. But it's going to be a really good breakfast by our host family, Aaron and Rodney. Apparently this is supposed to be some amazing food coming up, and we are pumped. So come hungry. So a lot of things going on here at Family Worship Center. Couple highlights. Number one, the Wednesday night service has been amazing. Pastor Chris is killing it. He is cleaning house, baby. We are raising hell here at Family Worship Center. He's bringing the word with power and might, and bringing a greater appreciation of the word. Come hungry to these services. Come hungry. 6 o'clock Wednesday evenings. Come hungry. We pray really hard. It's a phenomenal prayers. Afterwards, a little praise and worship. Pastor Chris gives a great word. It's a deeper word of things that you may get on a Saturday evening. A chance also to ask questions. You don't understand something? Put up your hand. It's a back and forth. So the goal is to get us deeper into the Word of God. To understand, number one, who He is. Because we know that He is who He said He is, right? Number two, that we are who He said we are. And He says it right here in the Word of God, who we are, right? And last but not least, that we will do what this Word says we will do. You know what the beautiful part is about the Word of God? Here's the best part. We read the last chapter. Can I give you guys a teaser? We win. Every time. Hallelujah. So phenomenal. Get to teach you who you are. We have seen healings. We have seen just great growth in people. So I encourage you to come at 6 o'clock. The prayer is amazing. I mean, it's moving mountains. You move mountains from your knee, not with effort. So thank you, Pastor Chris and Pastor Kelly, for bringing that. We are so excited. Tonight, we have another great, oh, by the way, while this is going on, something else happens. The other Kaufman, who I think is going to be the most powerful Kaufman of the bunch, Miss Kristen Kaufman, has these kids. I don't know. Jaywalkers get a little scary. She takes them out in the streets. They dodge cars. Great time, right? No. This group is growing by leaps and bounds. Kristen's just doing an amazing job of sowing into our kids. So young people, come. Secondly, bring your friends. Great opportunity to hear the Word of God from one of the sweetest people you will ever meet. But I tell you what, man, this young lady packs a wallop. The enemy better look out, because Kristen Kaufman's coming. So hallelujah. And tonight, so good news tonight now. So tonight we figure let's give Kristen some additional work. So she'll get both groups of kids tonight. She gets the Kingdom Kids and the Zion Lions. So we'll definitely be able to light them up tonight. So a lot of things going on here at Family Worship Center. We encourage you to be part of it. We encourage you. We now have the host family program, in which every week we will have a host family. As tonight, the Betts are taking care of things. It's awesome. An opportunity for you to serve. And it's a great chance to bring some snacks, fellowship. We encourage you to come downstairs afterward and fellowship. Very important part of a ministry is getting to know each other. And as we were praying downstairs before the service, we were looking. God gave me the vision of Noah's Ark. If you know how the Ark was built, they didn't have glue back then. They were very, very great craftsmen at how they put things together. And that is what God is doing, because He's a master craftsman. He is putting us together board by board, building up into what in many ways is going to be an ark for this city. The opportunity for us to go out there and reach out to people and to be a place where people will come and be restored. They'll come and be refreshed so we can send them forth. So this is a great opportunity to come, get to know each other. We understand each other. We'll learn more about what we need, some needs. If you ever have a need, come see me, come see Pastor Chris, come see any one of us. We are here to help anybody. There should be nobody in this church that ever suffers or has a problem without us knowing about it. We can help, and we have the resources to do so. That is what the kingdom of God does. So, especially around the holidays, if you know of families who need help, come see me. We want to make sure that every family has the ability to provide a good Christmas. We want to make sure that every family is housed, warm. There's no reason for the people of God to struggle. We can help. So we give God the glory. So, Father, we thank you for who you are. We give you the glory, for you are our God. Lord, you were born a babe, and you died a king, and you rose again to save every last one of us. So, Father, I just say thank you, Father. For tonight, Father, I just pray there be a healing anointing in this house, that people will walk out of here different than from when they walk in. We thank you, Lord. We'd ask you to make this ground fertile for the word of God that'll be coming from this pulpit. We ask you, Father, to illuminate our pastor, Pastor Chris, and give them a new revelation, Lord, a new revelation of your word, a revelation for this house, Lord, a revelation that will raise the roof, Father, and that'll strengthen his people. Heavenly Father, we just give you the glory and the honor and praise. We thank you, Father, for our worship team, Lord. We pray, Lord, that our praises will be heard in the throne room of God. For, Father, you say that Judah shall lead the battle. So, Father, we release our Judah right now to do battle, Father. Father, we just thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, and praise by your name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus. And hallelujah, let us praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In this church, there's a release of a healing anointing in this house right now. There's a healing anointing. You don't have to come up and have hands laid upon you. You simply need to have faith and believe. Have faith and believe that by His stripes you are healed. By His stripes you are healed. But there are angels. It's all over this house right now. The Spirit's heavy. So as we go into this last worship song, whatever part of your body you feel is hurting, I want you to pray and just give that to Jesus. Appropriate the word of God upon that. Know that you have that ability within you to release that faith that comes from God through your spirit man, to release it upon your body in Jesus' name. We release healing in this house. We come against diabetes. We come against arthritis. We come against COVID-19. We come against sinus infections. We come against every single pain. Heart disease has no place in the house of God. We come against depression. We come against, oh, Lordy, we come against addiction. Addiction has no house, place in this house, for Jesus has overcome. So, Father, we release, and we release that right now, Father. So, Father, as we go through this last song, ask God to heal you, to appropriate that by His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah.
Love in the dead of night, and you tell. Someone needs to hear that tonight. Hallelujah. That he's a good father. He's perfect in all of his ways. He's perfect. He's faithful. He never leaves you nor forsake you. He's a good, good father. I just want us to whisper those words. I just want us to sing that. Oh, yeah, you're a good, good father. Who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am, who I am, and I'm loved by you. Who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Right there. Father God, Lord, I thank you that we're loved by you, God. Whether we believe it or not, we are loved by you. Your love for us showed us by sending your Son, by giving us your Son. Lord, we thank you for that, God. We thank you for your love, God. I pray right now any healing that we just stand upon that healing that takes place right now in this house. Every heart, everyone that received that healing in this house tonight, we just stand and we thank you for it right now. Because you are the healer. You are the healer. Come on. He's the healer. Come on. He's the healer. Hallelujah. He's a healer. Hallelujah. That's who he is. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for you all. Hallelujah. For those that are watching here tonight, hallelujah. He's a good, good father. Hallelujah. There might be lies that you've heard, hallelujah, about who others have thought who he is. But I'm here to tell you, he's a good, good father. He's a good father. And you're loved by him. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody he's a good father. Come on, tell somebody else he's a good father. And you're loved by him. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Children can go to the classes. Yes, he is. Good father. You're a good father. You're a good father. You're a good father, God. You've showed me mercy when I didn't deserve it. Hallelujah. You've loved me when I didn't love you, God. Hallelujah. When we were in darkness, you showed forth your light. Hallelujah. You broke darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He's a good father. Amen. Hey, everybody left? Everybody left? All the kids? Let's have the church. Come on. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. God's good. God's good. God's good. God's good. Just give God a minute here right now. Hallelujah. 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 I really felt that when Dale felt in the spirit, I really felt that too. So just go ahead and receive that healing. You know, I really feel that God was just moving on this. Just receive that healing tonight. Come on, whatever that is. Maybe it's maybe for somebody that you're praying for. Come on, amen. Just stand in the gap. Sometimes we stand in the gap for others that are hurting, someone that's going through somebody. Just receive it for them, amen. Come on, amen. Just receive it for them. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, amen. You believe? I still believe in miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. I still believe. I can't help it. If you believe in God, I'm here to tell you, you got to believe in miracles. Amen. If you believe in God, you got to believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you don't, I promise you, God will surprise you. Amen. He'll surprise you. Amen. If you're saved and set free, if you've accepted Christ in your life, you've experienced a miracle, because that means that God has pulled you out of darkness, hallelujah, and set you into the light. You are free, amen, that we can walk in the fullness of who He is. That's a miracle, amen. I got mine, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, amen. Thank you, praise team. God is so good. He's so good. Yeah, my office. All right. That's all right. Come on, amen, hallelujah. So this is called when pressure creates power. Repeat that after me. When pressure creates power. Is that not the truth? I've got to really wait for them to get my glasses here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll wait for Him to come up here. Amen, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor how good looking they are. Amen. Tell your other neighbor. Amen. They look good. Come on, because you know why? Because they're in Jesus. Amen. Because he didn't have glasses. All right. Come on, amen. All right. Romans. Let's look up Romans 5:3 while I get my glasses here. I know better than to leave without my glasses. Nothing else here. Sorry, everybody. Oh, there we go. All right. Come on, amen. Give God a praise offering. Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you guys know that God uses pressure to produce power? Amen. There was in the midst of a lion's den, that God could have delivered, He could have delivered Daniel from the lion's den, but He delivered him in the lion's den. You know why? It was for everybody else to see the power of His God and to show the other ones, hallelujah, the faith of His people. I'm going to show you what faith, because I want you to know that sometimes people don't know what faith looks like. So God will put you in a pressure situation that others around you might see, hallelujah, how that God's faithful through your obedience. Amen. But we don't always like that. But I want to hear you. I want you to see this, because in Romans 5:3, it says this. It says that by whom we have access by faith, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, that in pressure, say in pressure. Pressure. That word tribulation means pressure. So in the midst of pressure, knowing that the pressure works patience. Now, I want you to see this and understand something, because We face some pressures. Come on, you go through some pressures in your life. Come on, sometimes there's financial, sometimes there's relationships, sometimes there's sicknesses, there's things that we go through in life. The Bible says that you are in this world, and in this world there's pressure. Come on, say pressure. I don't always like pressure, but I want you to know that when it's harnessed in the right direction, hallelujah, that when God uses that pressure for His glory, something's produced in that mix. So the pressure worketh for you. Say, it's working for me. It can either work for you, it can work against you. I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. So I'm going to let the pressure work for me with God. Not without God, and let the pressure work against me. There's things that we go through that God wants to use those things, hallelujah, that pressure for His glory. I'm going to show you some things tonight and I want to help you. So this pressure, it's working for me, not against me. Amen? So Hebrews 4, sometimes it feels like it's working against me. All right. Come on, amen? Am I not telling the truth? Sometimes it feels like it's working against me, but I want you to know that with God, it'll be working for you. I want to encourage you tonight, hallelujah, that the pressures that you go through, give them to God. Let God use them for His glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Let God get the glory in the midst of it. Hebrews 4:14. I want to give you a couple scriptures. It says, seeing that we have great priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession and our confession. That means our confession. Say, hold fast. When we're in the midst of pressure, I just want to give you some things that I have used to help me through the pressure in life. One of those things is that I got to hold fast to my profession. Because the first thing that happens when you're under pressure, your confession might change. When everything goes south, sometimes your tongue goes south too. Somebody come up here. I'm going to kick him and give him an example of what that means. Matt, come up here. See, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. I'm just helping you because that's the realness of this. I want to make this real for you because sometimes in the midst of pressure, things go south, hallelujah. But we got to hold on to our confession, hallelujah. We got to say the right things in the midst of whatever we're going through. We can't let our confession change. So in the midst of that, our confession, we don't let it change, hallelujah. And we cannot let our confession be silenced. Sometimes out of fear and the pressure we're going through, we are silenced and we become quiet. But I'm here to tell you that when the pressure's on, you need to get a little louder. Your praise needs to get turned up a little bit higher. Come on, amen. You need to make a little bit more noise in the midst, hallelujah. When you feel the heat coming on, hallelujah, you need to shout for praise a little bit louder. Come on, amen. So you need to be confessing the right things. So that is where we are. But not only that, but when the pressure comes, the Bible says that we need to come boldly. Say boldly. The Bible 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. The worst thing that you could do when you're facing pressure is to hesitate. When the pressure comes, don't hesitate, but come boldly to the throne room of God. Don't turn away from God, but turn towards God. Don't be silenced and don't run away. Can you remember that? Yes, sir. So when pressure does come, it comes. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, that there's tribulation. I want to teach you. I want you to be able to stand up against it. Hallelujah. I don't want you to be silenced. Amen. I do not want to be silenced. Hallelujah. And I do not want us to run away. Hallelujah. From the pressure. Doesn't mean I like it. So listen. He says that we need to go boldly to the throne room of God. Romans 10:10 says this. It says, that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, say with my mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's made unto salvation. I need to come boldly to God and I need to continue to confess the right things. I do not let my confession change because of my circumstance. And this is what I want you to see this. Do you remember the children of Israel where that they were facing a circumstance, they were facing some extreme pressure. And they went out, the 12 spies went out, and when they went out, they came back. And when they were asked, the 12 spies says, you know what, we aren't able to go in. And Caleb says, I'm more than able. Both of them were right. Because they were right, because in their heart, the 12 spies, they've already confessed in their heart that they can't go through. The pressure changed their confession. God gave them the correct confession. You're more than able. Say you're more than able. We cannot let the pressure of the giants around us change my confession. That's a good word. I cannot let the giants, I want you to know, it's not the giants that kept them out. It was their confession. That is our biggest battles, is what we confess. If I say I'm not able, I can't do this, I'm not able to do this, I got to confess the right thing. It's not just confessing things, it's confessing the right thing, declaring what God says. The Bible says to continue to confess. We cannot let, we need to have control of our mouths. We got to hold on to it. We can't let it get away. Because pressure will try to push it out of you. For you to begin, well, maybe it's not for me. Well, maybe I can't get that ever in my life. Well, maybe it's for you, but it's not for me. Don't show your hands, but I know you've said that before. Maybe Pastor Chris can get it because he prays longer. I just praise louder. That's just who I am. Because I got a loud voice. But that has nothing to do with that. We got to understand that, listen, it wasn't the giants that kept them out. It was their confession. If I confess with the mouth and believe in my heart, I shall be saved. That I confess unto salvation. I cannot let my confession change. So whatever you're going through, you cannot let your confession change. Say amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So this is this. So they were both correct. It's what you're confessing. What am I speaking over my life? I want you to see this in Romans 8. I want you to show you. I want you to see that how that the church dealt with it and how that persecution came upon the church and they faced a lot of it. And the first time you really began to see a high intense of pressure against the church and persecution, it was with Paul, who was Saul, that came against the church and he began to come against them. He began to put some pressure upon the church. Because he was putting the pressure, come on, he was on behalf of the devil, amen. He was putting pressure on the church to divide them, to separate them, and to silence them. The enemy wants to silence you, so the pressure we face in this world, the key thing is for us to be silent. That's what the enemy wants. You cannot let your voice be silent. Amen. So I want you to get this. So here's what they hit, where the, in Acts 8, 1, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. He was approved the killing of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution. Say great. There was some great pressure against the church. Some pressing that was going on. I want you to see that how that in the midst of this, we have to trust God that he's faithful. Say he's faithful. We got to know, but one of the greatest things for us to know is that God is good. He's good all the time. Amen. Even in the midst of your pressure, he's good. That's who he is. Amen. So you got to be at a place where that whenever it isn't working for you, I want you to know that God is working for you. It might not seem that way, but I promise you, you got to let God work for you. And your faith, hallelujah, is giving God the opportunity to do that in your life. Yes, standing in a place of trust. Whenever I say I trust you, but walk the other way, that's not true trust. Whenever I'm confessing, God, I believe you do it, but you're not going to do it for me. I trust. And that's a hard thing to do, but we got to be at the break. We got to be at the, am I making sense? He says in the church, he's against the church. And he says, and they were all scattered. They were scattered. I kind of think of it like when you push down on a grape and all of a sudden it pops. Say it goes everywhere. This is, and then Saul, he made havoc in the church. He says, and he went into every house hauling men and women that committed them to prison. Pulling them, dragging them out of their houses. What happened to those people? Did you wonder that? Let's look at Acts 12. It'll tell you exactly what happened to those people. It says in Acts 12, 19. How did that work out? I'll tell you how it worked out. It says, and now they which were scattered abroad, those that were pressed, pushed under extreme pressure that arose from Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. The persecution and the pressure did not silence them. But they began to preach a little bit louder. They began to confess. See, the enemy used it to stop them, to shut them up. But what it did was, it pushed them out, and they began to shout a little louder. So they had the opportunity and the choice to shut down, to hide out, to be silenced. But they trusted God to confess unto salvation that God's faithful. I want you to see that pressure pushes us towards or away. Pressure will push you towards or away. Either pressure is going to work for you or against you. What do I do in the midst of pressure? Am I letting it work for me or against me? He says, so, and when you let pressure turn you towards God, this is what happens. All things work together for good for those who are called and are called according to God's purpose. Who love God and are called according to His purpose. All things, say all things. All things that they according to His purpose. That if we stay faithful in the midst of it, in the midst of the pressure, hallelujah, that they were faithful to it. And out of the midst is all things, say all things. All things. That doesn't mean some things, brother, sister. It means all things. You might not see it right now in the moment that you're in right now, but I promise you, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen? And sometimes it takes faith to stay in that place when you don't see it working for you. And it feels like it's working against you. See, those people were looking at this thing and looking at this thing, and this thing happened, and the enemy would honestly think this is truly going to do the work if they see their friend dying for what they confess. For what he was saying, he died. For what he said, he died. This will shut them up. Come on. I want you to see this. He says, but verse 21, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I want you to see that all things. These ones were faithful. They didn't stop confessing the right confession. They didn't run from God. They run towards God. They were able, I want you to know, for other people, turn to God because of their confession. Because of what they were declaring. I can never turn anybody unless I let God turn me.
I cannot turn my family members. I cannot turn my situation unless I'm willing to let God turn me. Unless I'm willing to let God have my attention. Unless I'm willing to let God move me inside and turn me, hallelujah, that I don't run from Him, but I run to Him. Come on, that's powerful, amen?
So that way we need to do, he says, unless I let God turn me. 26, and in verse 26, it says this, it says, and they were called, the disciples, they were called Christians at Antioch. This is the first time, just real quick, you okay? Real quick, you ready? This is the first time they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. And actually that they were using this in a derogatory frame. In the place of Antioch. Antioch was kind of it was the world within a world. It was kind of like New York City. Everything that's in the world was in that place. Everything that you looked for, desired, was there. Everybody that you could imagine. But the way that this society worked is there were walled cities, and everybody from a certain race and religion were all in different walled places. Until the Christians that were persecuted were scattered and they came here. And things changed. So what they were saying was derogatory, was actually the truth, because they were calling them little Christ. Because they were acting like Jesus. The word IN means that you were part of a party. So they were part of the Jesus party. And you see, the society, it was disrupting the way that they had everybody in order. These people were this way, that were that way, and they kept everything. But they began to tear the walls down of prejudice. They began to tear the walls down, and these people began to come together to worship God. Say unity. See, what the enemy tried to divide and scattered, hallelujah, worked against him because people were obedient to the Lord, that he was faithful, and because of it, out of the midst of it, God got the glory from it. All those that were around were touched by and tore down walls just by them being obedient to God. They weren't doing anything else but trusting God. They weren't trying to make it happen. They were just trusting God. He's faithful. Come on. He's faithful. It upset the society's categories of people. Kind of feels like today. The system of the world categorizes people, the society. God doesn't. Not male nor female, nor Jew nor Greek, nor black nor white, doesn't matter. In Him, we are one. Amen. Say, we're one. There was something happened. I want to be part of the Jesus party. Come on. Amen. So we can look at 12. This is what took place. Because of that, it says, and now about the time Herod and the king stretched forth his hands to vex a certain of the church. And he wanted to extinguish them. And it says, and because they saw it pleased the Jews, they proceeded further to take Peter. And it says, and when they apprehended him, I love that, because you can apprehend me, but I'm apprehended by Him. Yeah. Come on, amen. The enemy might think he's trying to apprehend you, but I got to be apprehended by Him. So it says, and the soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Say, he was kept in prison. Now, I want you to see this. They use those words, he was kept in prison. But I want you to know that you cannot let your circumstances bound you, but you need to be bound by Christ. You cannot let your circumstances chain you down, but you need to be chained to Christ. You need to be kept by Him in the midst of that pressure. I got to stay faithful.
I got to trust God in the midst of the pressure. Now, I want you to see that Paul gave us an example of this, and it's powerful because it comes out of Philippians. He wrote a letter while he was in prison. I want you to see the faithfulness that this man had with God. But more, though, I want you to see the faithfulness of God. That he continued to contend in his faith and belief, even in the midst of prison. God told him in a vision that I want you to go to Philippi. And when he gets there, he goes to prison. God told him to go there. And when he gets there, he goes to jail. You know, I want you to know that that moment, I got to be at a place trusting God. I have to be at a place because things come against you. And that moment, sometimes I think to myself, what would I say? Well, I missed that. That must not have been God. Or whatever it is, I could think of something in my head of what went wrong. But this is what he says. This is what he declared when he went to prison. Hang on. Are you with me tonight? Come on, amen. He says this. It's in here. It's in Philippians, not Ephesians. He says this. Be confident. Being confident. Philippians 1:3. That when you go through these places, the place of pressure, the number one thing I got to do is I got to be confident that he who began the work, he who sent me, even though it doesn't, I got to be confident, not in me, but in him. I got to be bound to him. I cannot let my circumstance chain me down, hold me down, bow me down. No, no, no. I need to be bound and chained to Christ. I need to be confident in this thing that he who began it shall finish it. That work that he's doing within me, I'm going to be faithful that it works out of me. That God can be used in my life and touch others around me. God, Lord, if I'm in this prison, I'm here and I'm going to be used by you, Father. I'm going to be a spiritual disruption to those around me. Because I'm going to be confident in who you are. I got to get the right confession. Amen. It says, so he says in 1:9, and it says, and I pray that this is what I desire you to do, that the love may abound, that your love may abound. This is how when you're facing pressure, I got to be confident and I have to let his love abound, overflow, say overflow. I need to let the love of God overflow. Hallelujah. And he says, and more and more, I need to let the love abound, overflow more and more in knowledge and in judgment, which means my decisions. I need to let the love of God overflow my life into all my decisions and my thoughts. I got to be, when I'm chained and bound in my prison, I got to know God is good. The devil's a liar. Come on, amen. The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. My God is faithful. Is that the truth? That is the truth. Nothing but the truth. It says, and that you might approve things that are excellent, that you might be sincere and without offense. You need to let the love overflow you, because if not, you're going to get offensed. You're going to be in an offense. You're going to be offended. I don't want to get offended at God. And I have. And it wasn't that God failed me, but it was my faith failed me in God. I wasn't confident sometimes in God. But the more I began to take hold of the love of God and who he is and begin to let it overflow my life, something happens. He says this, and he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, which is the glory and the praise of God. Wow. And then verse 12, it says, but I would let you should understand. I really want you to understand. Tell someone, he wants you to understand something. That the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather than unto the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, these things have not worked against me, but they've worked for me. What the enemy has meant to work against me, God has used it to further the gospel in me, through me, and around me. And it was in the midst of prison. God says, I want to use, hallelujah, you to spread the gospel. Those ones that were in that prison, that were lost, God says, I want to use you to further. I want you to see that not just furthering the gospel, God's not just worried about furthering the gospel on the outside. He's worried about, not worried, but he's concerned about furthering the gospel within you. That the gospel goes farther within me. We want to go to the farthest places, share the gospel all the way. We need to share the gospel in us. I need to let the gospel expand and go farther within my life. Hallelujah. So that when things come against me, it doesn't derail me, because the gospel has gone farther within the depths of me to the places I didn't let it go before. Come on, amen. All right. So, no offense. So let it go farther, the gospel in you. Verse 19, it says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. This shall turn. Say, this shall turn. You know why he was confident in it? Because I have turned to him. I know that God will turn it for me. I know that God will turn it for me. He says, and here's how he does it. He'll do it through prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Through prayer. So there's something there. Come on, amen. There's something there that I have to contend to. I have to take hold of. It's with prayer and by the Spirit of God. I want you to know that God still works through prayer. That's one of your most powerful weapons. It's your communication with God. Prayer lines your heart up with His will. That you walk in His purposes. You can get ready to pray something, Randy. I have a couple more points I want to do. There's 4 points. I want you to see this. How pressure creates power. Number one, we talked about being confident. Say confident. Number two, overflow in love. This is how it creates power. If it overflows in love. And number three, prayer. Number four, the supply of the Spirit. Our prayer is a mighty weapon. And we could see in Acts 12, when Peter was in prison, it says, and Peter therefore was kept in prison, but. This is in Acts 12:5. He was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer. It was made without ceasing. It continued. It didn't stop. Amen? And this is what takes place when you continue to pray. Don't stop. Don't start. The prayer, a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains.
and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. You could play something, Randy. I want you to catch this. I want you to see that if you could study this and see how that what took place, if you read down farther, that sometimes you don't realize, and it shows us in the scriptures, that what was taking place when they prayed. In the midst of pressure that was going on, that they were praying for one for another, there's power in that. They're praying for one. That when you got a brother that's in prison, you got somebody that's in prison, that you might not be going through pressure or a situation in your life, in that moment, you need to find somebody to pray for. Somebody that you need to stand in the gap for. Somebody that you need to gather together and pray. Find somebody. Find somebody that's going through something. And become that one in their life that you agree with God. You don't lose your confession with God. You agree with what God says about it in prayer. You gather together and you begin to declare that over those people's lives. You bind them to God. You come in agreement with God. Not their situation, but with God. And when that happens, when you begin to do that, I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells me that the prison doors were opened. Prayer opens doors. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor Chris, listen, I'm telling you, it might not open the way that you think it'll open. In that midst where Peter was, it didn't feel like prayers could ever get through that area. He was bound and chained to two different people, chained against a wall, chained to the floor, chained to both hands, chained around the neck. There's no way prayers could get answered, but with God. With God, all things are possible. I want you to know the main thing that we have to do when we're in those places, we cannot let our circumstances in those prisons, those pressures, speak louder than God. Because the angel came and said, arise. I promise you, sometimes in my life, I believe God has spoken to me to arise, and the opportunity for me to walk out of my prison was there, but I didn't hear. Because the Bible says they that have ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. To hear what the Spirit is saying. Sometimes I don't always hear. And my door might be opened. Do not lose any opportunities for prison doors to be opened, not hearing what God's saying today. I need to know what God's saying today. Right now. Not just on Saturday night. No, Monday morning. Monday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon, whatever it might be, I need to be at a place where that I'm able to hear, not louder, that my circumstances aren't louder than the voice of God. That my sickness, my problem isn't louder, my chains aren't tighter than the voice of God in my ear. To say, arise. Sometimes my complaining is so loud. I can't believe God's healing me. Arise. I cannot believe that God didn't do this for me. I can't believe. Arise. I'm talking over Him instead of agreeing with Him. Arise. Would you stand to your feet? It's not about what I'm feeling. Tell your neighbor, it's not about what you're feeling. It's about what the Spirit's saying. By His stripes, we were healed. Whatever situation I'm in, I need to stand and agree with God's word to my sister. I need to agree. I want you to know that you're going to confess something. Either we confess with God or against Him. Am I confessing with my circumstances, my problems, my prison, or am I confessing with God? Am I confessing with my persecution and the problems around me, or am I confessing with what God says?
that pressure working. Salvation. That this will work for the glory of God. Jesus was praying. He was in a place where he was praying before he went to the cross. While everybody else was sleeping, he was praying. Could have really got frustrated at that moment. He told the Father, he said, Father, he says, this is hard. He says, I know what's going to come place. I know what's going to take place. If you're able, take this from me. But not my will. This is going to be great pressure. That pressure was so great on Jesus that he sweat blood because of the pressure that was coming before him. But he endured it. He pressed through it so that you and I can experience a miracle. That place that he was at, Gethsemane, it means olive press. The place where they press olives, squeeze them, pressure comes down. Boy, that's significant. That's spiritually significant for that moment. The pressure that Jesus was experiencing, that pressure. That pressure that was squeezing down upon him. Hallelujah. Every one of us, because of it, that anointing that would come from that. The same anointing that raised Christ from the dead, you can take hold of. So whatever pressure you're in, you have the anointing. I pray right now, Father God, Lord, right now, those that are watching, I pray that whatever pressure it is right now, whatever jail, whatever thing that they feel like they're in, God, Lord, those things are real. They're not fake. We don't deny those things. But with you, all things are possible. There's an anointing that we have in you that causes us to get out of any prison, out of any darkness, out of any oppression, depression, sickness, whatever it might be, whatever thing's overwhelming us, there's anointing within us to cause us to rise up. Father God, I pray right now for each one here tonight. Lord, I give those the opportunity right now that don't know you and have not experienced you as their Savior. I pray right now, Father God, Lord, that we confess that there's a confession with our mouth, that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you are Savior, your Lord. Father God, Lord, right now, I just speak to those right here, the God, Lord, that they don't leave this place without knowing you as their Savior, Father God. Father God, Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, for any hurts, God, Lord, right now, the God, Lord, that no, they walk out without releasing it to you. God, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we just declare with all of our hearts that we are. God's knocking. Open up. Let him in. Amen.